This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon and into what stuff means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 16.9 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Stingray Digital Media Group is one of the world's biggest providers of multi-platform music services, with 11,000 commercial clients in 156 countries. The Montreal company's core business is piped in music channels for commercial and residential, but it also has a growing operation in digital experiences for retail, like flashy screen networks and big Canadian sporting goods stores. That side of the business is led by Pierre Gendron, a former pro hockey player who found his way into digital signage doing an early version of it for company golf tournaments around Quebec. That company evolved and developed into Groupe Viva, which was then acquired in 2015 by Stingray. Now part of a much larger organization, Gendron talks in this chat about what Stingray offers and how it intends to grow. One of those ways is through acquisition, and we get into why Stingray recently bought Toronto-based Nova Media, which gives the company a big national bank customer and a stronger digital signage foothold in English Canada and beyond. Pierre, thank you for joining me. Nice to see you. We've known each other for years and years, and I've not been to these beautiful offices. So probably the first thing, a lot of Canadians would know what Stingray is about, but maybe just parts of it. So best thing is explain what Stingray Media is as a macro business and then what it is in terms of digital signage.
Well, like I said earlier, the Stingray business is like, it's got kind of three big sections. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we just bought 100 radio station. So the biggest and the core of our business is the Stingray Digital, we call. It's all the music that we have on the cable.
Yep.
That we, the old Galaxy, used to be called Galaxy.
So
we
bought in Canada, but is it just in Canada or is it other countries?
When we bought it back then, that's in 2009, it was just in Canada. Now mm-hmm. we're in more than 124 countries. We do have 400 million subscriber or people that are listening to our music on the cable. And I mean, in Canada, we might think it's saturated industry, but in some other countries, just like in Mexico, they're still rolling out cable 5% every year. So it's still a growing industry, even though here in Canada, we do.
They're cutting cords here, but they're putting them in there.
Exactly. And so that's going very well. A lot of, I think we're up to 26 acquisition in that department. Mm-hmm. Not sure if you follow the media lately, but we did a crazy good offer to our biggest competitor in the States that are doing the exact same thing. And finally, the biggest, what's my core business, is what we call Stingray Business. So it's the B2B in-store media specialist. Stingray was in 70,000 nodes when they acquired me with the music inside Canadian Tire, Shoppers Drug Mart, et cetera, Loblaws.
Yeah.
So they were the king of, you use the music on the cable TV, we do have those crazy good programmer, why don't we use them? So they design an experience for music and for people, for customer of our customers.
Right. So Stingray was probably being asked, they're doing in-store audio for all these companies and they're saying, we want to do digital signage as well. Do you do that? And they didn't. So I assume then they went out there and looked around and acquired Groupe Viva, right?
Yes, exactly. Came from two directions. The one direction you said, they said, well, maybe we can maximize and the customer would ask for, hey, can you do that? But what got into more of Eric Boyko's skin was they were losing music customer to digital signage player, just like us.
Okay.
Groupe Viva.
Yeah.
I was in Jean Coutu. I'm a poor expert, being a good customer of ours, and I said, hey, you know what, I'm taking care of your digital signage. Who does your music? Back then, it was another company. Mm-hmm. And said, why don't you give it to us? And then, whoop, next thing you know, we were doing not as sophisticated as Stingray, but there was a price to it, and then it was more of a... So we were stealing customer to them. Mm-hmm. And then they said we should increase, we have to increase our average revenue per unit, per place, like our pews. Yeah. And then they said, okay, well, how can we do that? Renaud LaFrance was our VP of business development, and he said to our big boss, he said, we need to get in the digital signage space. Once we have a base of customer that we can sell more product to them, which makes a lot of sense, and it's going to give us stickiness to get other customer, because right. now we're going to be and call ourselves more just not the music people, but the in-store media or the digital experience
right.
type of guy. And it makes obviously makes sense. They did, I think, good research throughout Canada for a lot of other companies. And fortunate enough, they selected us, being probably the best fit for them mm-hmm. at that time. And that's already 3 years ago. And looking back, it makes a lot of sense, because now Group Viva, or the division that I run, almost quadruple in revenue just on their client base. And just mm-hmm. by the fact that we know what we're doing, and we're right. doing it together. On their customer, Mark's mm. Warehouse, Canadian Tire, name it.
So you started what became Group Viva in like 2005?
2008, 2009, if I don't mistake. We start in 2002, was called Sportech.
Sportech.
And then in 2005, you're right, we called that branch Sportech Media. Uh-huh. And Sportech Media in late 2008, 2009 became Group Viva.
Okay. And going back to the start of Sportech, why did you, like, you came out of playing pro hockey. And yeah. like, I think some of the other people involved in the company were hockey players as well.
Yeah, was four ex-pro player that uh-huh. got together. And I have not no honor, I'm looking for the name, but we got lucky.
Yeah,
we came in this industry being hockey players, and obviously hockey players, what they do in the summer, they play golf. They work out and they play golf. So we developed a software back then. My partner back then developed a software to do what we didn't know was called digital signage or narrow casting
yeah.
for golf tournaments. So we start our season, me and Eric, which he was the programmer, I was the sales guy, and we sold, I think, to 45 companies their digital signage TV for their golf tournaments.
Okay.
So it was the foursome, who was playing, scrolling down, who was playing with who,
yep.
with the visibility of the sponsors mm-hmm. as you watch the screen, and a little ticker down low talking about the weather, and our yep. president will announce this at 7 o'clock. So it was the digital signage kind of network back then, but yeah. for events only. So we started like that, and then we kept doing more and more golf tournaments. We kept doing big sport events. But what I saw the vision came when I saw that, and that was the golf tournament of the casual sports back then, which... Big sports bar in Montreal,
Quebec, yeah.
65 big sports bar. And they were running bloopers on a DVD. And I talked to the president at that time. I said, it's kind of cool. But when I went, the DVD and the TV, a third of the TV went blue because the DVD and the operator didn't have the time to, yeah. to reboot that thing. I said, I probably can take care of that for you through internet. So mm-hmm. sold them the vision and then started that kind of new way of doing digital signage.
Yeah.
And then, so we ended up being there. It was not... that I was in this industry. I was more in the sports event business, which was yep. a natural. And then when I saw that, found that there was a big market and makes sense. In 2009, when I was dealing with the SHIM, which SHIM is a big hospital that we have here in hospital in Montreal, the SHIM, we were discussing with them and signed a contract for their digital signage network internally for their foundation and talk about their services.
Yeah, it was called Sante or something, was it? Or Sante, or am I getting that right?
Yeah, the Sante TV, yes.
Yeah.
We were doing this at that time, but this is where I got with the guy at Procurement. Once the deal was signed, and he said, Sportech, what's that doing? So that's when we start reevaluating our name and our mission, and then making Group Viva our core business. And then I stated earlier in the process, and it's still very fragmented in the industry. And when I talked with Renaud and Eric back then, when they wanted to buy my business, I said, I'd rather be the one that goes with a big player and acquire other people and protect the employees' job of a yeah. lot of people in Boisbriand. And I had the vision that it was, if I don't consolidate it myself, which I didn't know back then that I could have the access of that capital. I mean, I started this in my backyard, not in my backyard, but in my, how do you call that? The basement.
Yeah.
We started the business, we were two, and then we grew a little bit to 25 employees. It went very well, but I think that's what you call experience. If I knew whatever I knew right now, maybe I would have grown by acquisition, but now I've learned that because I'm with Stingray and they're acquisition monsters. They know what they're doing, so what I've learned. But at the same time, I had the vision to be with the big guy, so that helps. We bought a couple of good companies, and next thing you know, well, there's only one president. All the VPs got let go, and so by being the first one with the people, at least we're there, and we have a good and fun time with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would imagine that's a pretty significant culture shock to go from like a company of 30 people out in Montreal suburbs to large, very large player, very corporate and everything else.
Yes. I always said that it's a big learning experience for me. Being a private company to a public company, big difference. And it's, again, big. I say all the time that I'm well paid to go to university because I'm learning how it's run and the opportunity of this. I was very local company selling in Quebec only almost, but few deals in Ontario, some coast to coast, but maybe not even 10% of my nodes were outside of Quebec. And then Stingray is worldwide company. So again, all the different laws. So it's a big learning. And being the biggest thing for me was being an entrepreneur, deciding what I would do tomorrow or next week. It's me that I was calling the shot.
Yeah.
So being, that's the biggest adjustment for an entrepreneur is now becoming an employee.
Yeah.
But come back to the culture. When I went to an offsite with them, when I was negotiating still with them, they invited me to one of their offsite. And when I saw the culture, when I saw the people, how they were thinking, and it's still, Eric is a very entrepreneur himself, and the way he treats his people and he respect their entrepreneurship within the organization.
Right.
That's where I saw that there was a fit that I could live into this.
Yeah.
3 years back, I can tell you that it's only been good. I mean.
It helps a lot, I would imagine, that it's a media company that already did or does digital distribution and everything else. I've seen some other companies, Montreal company like Arsenal Media, that got acquired by Christie, which is very much a hardware technology business. And that went well for a while, but now it evaporated.
Yeah.
Just because the cultures are so different and they do different things, very different things, whereas this makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. I think at the beginning, it has to make sense, and it has to, but I think what helped a lot is the fact that we kind of knew what we're doing and they already had the base of customers.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, there's a trend. It's going like this. When I was doing golf event, I was the first one to buy a flat screen TV. Cost me a 32 inch, cost me $8,000. Now, cost $200. I mean, there's a trend. It's picking up, and our industry is growing every year. So we're lucky enough. So we do have the market, and then Eric and Renault had the vision. When you put all this together, I think I had a pretty good and agile group to make it happen, and we did a couple of good success story. And I guess our boss Eric just guide us throughout this and gives us the resource to keep growing. And like I said, if I had none success and if we didn't quadruple the business, maybe he would probably be more on my case. Right now, he leaves us kind of doing the operation of digital signage, kind of not alone, obviously. We do have some meetings, but when we beat the P&L year after year, I guess he's got confidence and we make it happen.
So, right. Is Sports Expert kind of your flagship installation?
Yes, we do have, not in numbers, probably not, some in the top five for numbers, but obviously probably in the top one for what has to be a very 360 to, for me, a digital experience. I mean, doing just digital signage, maybe is not one of my biggest, definitely probably not in music because of the number of nodes that we have.
Yeah.
But for a flagship, as you know, we were very, very fortunate and very happy to get a big prize in Amsterdam for the store of the future. That's, to me, it's when you go into a store and you've got the all different digital experiences, not only digital signage, but engagement.
Yeah.
I mean, you do have a...
Yeah, I walked around the store yesterday, the one in St. Catherine.
Yeah.
That's, like, there's a lot going on in that store. That was a big investment.
Big investment. They had the vision to do it because at the end of the day, it's a franchisee that decided that he was going to put over $1 million just mm-hmm. in technology. Mm-hmm. This store... It's all, they renovated, they grew it a little bit bigger, but they put $10 million in that store. Mm-hmm. And a tenth of it, it was in a little bit more than a tenth of it, it was in the digital experiences. So they had to add the vision. And then I think we deliver what's to date is one of the biggest and nicest store for innovation and for customer experience.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75 plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
And what's the difference there? Because I've been in other sports stores in particular and other retailers where they've screened the hell out of the store, but I've walked around and went, okay, good for you. You spent a bunch of money, but I don't quite understand why. I started to see in this store that there appeared to be a lot of thinking around what's on each of those screens and what you see as you know, as they say, the customer journey. Was that a big exercise for you guys?
Yes. Well, you're going to like this and refer to it big time is once they have a dealership and they want us to do an experience, mm-hmm. we have to deal with everything is in place. What I like about this is they called us and we were doing stuff for them before, but when they decide that they were going to go to another route doing the store of the future themselves, they invite a lot of different professionals. But the designer was there, mm-hmm. the people that the builder was there. The customer experience guys or the Group Viva or back then and Stingray was there for their own expertise. So they threw a big kind of table and say, hey, let's brainstorm all together. To do this, we don't have a vision of it at all, but we know where we want to be and we know what we'd like to eliminate from pain. We know what we're trying to accomplish, but let's brainstorm all together to get mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I will be at a call afterwards and you say, you know what, this is their 5,000 square foot. What would you do now?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll throw
this
over there.
We got this big empty wall here. What would you put on it?
Exactly. Yeah. And how would you do it? And then they don't even know like the content part. And then the next, they don't think of that. Sport Expert had the vision back then. The VP over there, Jean Thériault, who's now the president of the franchisee group, was... had the vision and I think to implicate all the professionals and do it mm-hmm. beforehand, consult everyone and then do sketches and try stuff before we get to the what we call now the white project. So every stores that we just did three lately, one in Drummondville, another one in Place Anexinion right now. I mean, all the new stores, part of the design criteria, they have to look kind of the same.
Okay.
They obviously have A, B, and C version because mm-hmm. not everyone has got the volume of the one that you saw on St. Catherine. But it's crazy the numbers that are getting out of it. And I mean, it's not nothing public, but big double-digit growth on every
really?
New white project that they do. It's kind of crazy because there's more competition, they invest more, but they get...
So there's a tangible, traceable impact of doing this and that you can't just associate purely with, it's a new store and we renovated and therefore, of course, more people are coming because they're curious. You can see because you're doing digital things that it's...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And strongly, if you talk Jean Thériault, you're going to meet him. He's presenting on our next big sales meeting and he really believes that... It makes a difference. And he's got the proof now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got more than 18 stores that altogether represent more than 20% in growth.
Hmm.
So it's not only, I would not think that it's only like this, because some store grew bigger.
Yeah.
Some store went from a 45 to a 50,000 square foot place. But again, we have to come back to the basis. It has to be fun. It has to be enhanced for the customer experience. So if if you come back, if you love it, I think it makes sense that you're going to spend more, especially right. with the threat. Let's not talk about the threat, but the threats of the web, the threats of other things. That's why I think we're going to still have and be busy for a couple of good years is people have to figure out their customer experience because it has to be fun, has to be engaging. You have to get them. And what we're working right now with them already is on the second stage, like the 2.0, more interaction, more personalization of the person. So it makes it, again, gives a second meaning to our TVs because when they're going to recognize you, they can talk to you or tell you to download our app because you're going to get this and this value. So the mix of going into that phase of what I call digital signage 2 or 3.0, like the next generation is definitely more interactivity, more recognition of the customer, personalization, AI, and all those buzzwords, but it's coming, it has to come.
Now, a lot of what you've done to date has been very much Quebec-focused, kind of percolating out through Quebec, and you know we've bumped into each other through the years of trade shows and everything else, and you've kind of quietly mentioned that you're sniffing around for acquisitions and expanding beyond Quebec, even though I think you were saying you've done stuff outside of Quebec, certainly.
Yes.
But a couple weeks ago, I think it is now, you acquired Toronto company Nova Media.
Yes.
What's all that about?
The last three, just like you said, the last 3 years being together, I mean, Stingray had good customer base that was throughout Canada. We did very good stuff with TELUS throughout Canada, the TELUS sound table. So you had
The TELUS stores?
The TELUS stores,
We
got the TELUS stores. We got OPA for quick service, a restaurant with the menu board.
Okay.
So we got a chance to get off Quebec on the Stingray base of customer that they had outside. But I think in signage and more in music, it's true, but even more in signage, I think you need to have an operation.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough sometimes to go to do like all the pitches and the biggest, to be honest with you, the biggest territory or the biggest, the head office of most company in Canada is in Toronto. So we had to be there. So for the last 3 years, I was evaluating a couple of nice businesses And for us, Nova makes a lot of sense because it's a total good fit for us. Once we want to be in the banking business, they have their biggest customer is BMO.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to be there. We do have an opportunity with BMO for the music now that we didn't have because now we're going to be partnering with them. But being in Toronto and have the people that can deliver there as well and good experience, it was very important.
So this allows you to get a Toronto office without having to go through all the pain of real estate and finding people who actually know what they're talking about and everything else. And you start with an anchor client who probably isn't in any peril because I think Nova's had BMO for 8-10 years.
Yeah.
So they seem to be happy.
Absolutely. I think they tried the open RFP and they tried something else, but they came back to them and with a solid contract. So that's why... That made a lot of sense. And the other thing is, like I said earlier, older management ready to do something else makes a lot of sense because our management makes sense, but we do need people to operate and we need physical presence.
Mm-hmm.
I had three reps there doing a good job selling music out of their home and digital signage, but it's tough for me to support them very well because it's always the distance and they had no offices. So when I meet a customer here, as you saw, we do have a big LED screen. We do have TVs everywhere and like kiosk, interactive kiosk. We do have demos that we can ship.
Right.
Toronto, which biggest market, we had nothing. So now we're going to have a big operation, not a big, but a very decent operation. People working in an office and we're very happy. And I can tell you that's probably not the last one. Very aggressive. We want to be in-store media specialists in Canada.
Right.
And very soon more.
Mm-hmm. And with the solution that you deliver, is it your software or somebody else's? So in Sports Expert, or is it running Stingray software on all
yes.
the screens?
Well, I'm not sure if you remember, but back then I had my own software. And then I went to a show and I saw 200 exhibitors of different software.
Yeah.
And not being a very technical people myself, I said, you know what, I'll focus my energy and my key differentiator is going to be on content. Mm-hmm. I'll develop good content because I think the technology should not be a problem or should not be an effect. It should be just a tool to deliver the message.
Yeah.
So I focus very much on this and start working with BroadSign, start working with different suppliers. So I called myself more as an integrator.
Yeah.
Depending on my customer needs, I can use my own software that I do have, because now we have 70 programmers here. So we do have a software and music. So we do have our own, very limited, to be honest with you. It's not the most exhaustive one, because I don't need to develop that much.
Yep.
If I need a very good ad generated type of thing, I'll go with BroadSign. Now we're working sometimes with Navori as well.
Mm-hmm.
So as an integrator, depending on the customer needs and the thing, we'll use different
which
a mix of, or yeah. So we do have our own, but that doesn't mean it's the best one for the customer, depending on his needs. So most of the time we'll work with other people. Just like BroadSign, not scared to say, we use still a lot of BroadSign for some stuff we're doing.
Right. Is the trend that you're seeing, whether it's retail or other kinds of customers, that they want you guys to do pretty much everything, you know, from early stage through to actually managing the network for them? Or do you still have customers who say, yeah, you put all this together for us, but we actually want to do the scheduling and
I see, it's a very, very good question, because I see kind of both still. Mm. Back then, I would only manage services from A to Z. Mm. I would say, you know what, you want us, Lacage, you're good to do chicken wings, focus on doing chicken wings, let us do the old thing, or do it yourself. So we used to do equipment and labor, and then management services and content. So that's like, and even ads, we used to sell ads as well. We could sell ads as well. But I see more of a trend of people that they do have an organization. They don't know how to do it, so they want to be consulted. They want to use us to know what use and what for.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, they'll pick some things that they think they're good at. I can manage my... I have that little girl there. I think she can manage. She's just managing my ad on the web. I think she can manage our... Okay, well, we'll hook you up and we'll set you up for you to be able, and then you can call us if needed be. If not, you can do it yourself. So we had to adjust, and that's why we're depending on the customer needs.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to manage his own thing, I would not go with some type of software, because it's too complicated for them to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would spec down and probably use mine, which is very basic, makes a lot of sense, cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So it all depends on the customer need, but to answer your question, I think we do have more of a trend of, I kind of see a more trend of people, big organization, that already do their content with an agency or do it themselves. So we like to do that, and I think we're doing a great job, but sometimes we'll accept if they want to do it themselves. And the management part, a little bit more than I would expect.
You've seen, because you've been doing this for a long time now, evolution of the customer and what they know. And I guess what I'm asking is, do customers these days seem to actually know what they want when it comes to digital signage and digital media, or do you still have to kind of hold their hands?
I think they know a lot more than back then. I think back then we have a lot of education to do. I mean, it was brand new, so we had to...
They just say we want screens in our stores.
Exactly.
Now so, what?
And now, fortunately enough, a couple of late deal that we've got is people that had a services from our competitor and were not happy with. So people kind of know what they were doing, because they've been doing for 5 years. Now that their contract is up, so they want to test the water and see who else can do that services.
Yeah.
So lucky enough, we got some those kind of deals. So people will know more, but there's a lot of people that have no clue. So at the same time, we have to still educate other people and tell them the benefits. And it's even worse now. I scare people, say, if you don't do that, you're going to die. And they look at me. It's happening. It's happening. I see brands right now that are going away, and it's unfortunately, but they haven't turned the customer experience journey that people. I mean, we can name a few of them that are giant that they went away just because they missed a curve, missed a couple of curves. So I'm not scared to put in someone's head. If you don't take care of your customers with all what's happening right now, you might die.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I get their attention, that's for sure. And then it's up to us to show what we can do for them and how we can walk the talk.
Is there stuff going on right now in terms of what you're seeing, you know, within the ecosystem when you go to trade shows, that sort of thing that gets you excited? I know when I walked through the building with you, you were showing me this big 2.5 millimeter LED wall. That's something that I think is just going to invade so many public spaces and retail environments and so on as the costs come down. Are you finding that as well?
Absolutely. What I think is people are going to go big or very small, like very close, yeah, very small, or very big to have an impact. Putting 100 screen, a 40 inch, doesn't do it anymore. I mean, yeah. And putting all together with the bezel and stuff like that, when you can have a very nice experience of an LED.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Last year, probably half my budget went from screen to LED already. So there's a big trend. Mm-hmm. Why? It's sharper. I mean, depending on the pitch. But if you, like you said, if the price comes down and then you can go with any kind of shape and form and to have an impact, especially, and that's what I think what we're good at is to do very nice retail, how do you call that, like the flagships.
Yeah.
When we do flagships, I mean, you have to be sharp and create crazy good experience. So definitely more big and nice. So content becomes even more important.
Yeah.
And what I see coming in is this is what we need to be good at is, like I said, recognition of the customer, recognition of his telephone, recognition of his,
right,
of his customer, personalizing the customer experience in that store.
Without being invasive.
Without being invasive. That's the toughest part.
Which freaks them out.
Exactly. So it's, a lot of people are talking about it. I don't think a lot of people figure it out. I think we're doing a lot of tests right now and we're with good customer, but myself, few hockey store to make my own test. Mm-hmm. the ex-hockey dude. So it was easy for me to, so I went in place that I could do have my own lab and do my own testing. But I think that the future or the near future is definitely more in big, smaller, personalized, and knowing more about your customer, knowing more about their customers of your customers.
Right. All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Good to see you.
Mm-hmm. Been a while.
It's been a while. Well, thank you very much, Dave.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around for more than 2 years. You can click around the archive and find more than 100 conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. There are now more than 6,000 posts in there about this industry. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside beautiful, amazing Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.